The first day of a new financial quarter is not the ideal time for a stock market glitch. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Trading was suspended all day due to a technical problem on the Tokyo Stock Exchange, the third largest in the world behind the NYSE and NASDAQ. Authorities are investigating the problem on the $6 trillion market and say there's no indication of a hack or cyber attack. The BBC's Katie Silver has more.
Officials say an electronic trading system glitch caused the worst outage on the Tokyo Stock Exchange since it moved to electronic trading in 1999. Buying and selling on more than 2,500 shares was suspended just before trade was due to begin this morning. At a press conference, the exchange's president said hardware will be replaced and the system restarted. He apologized for the outage and said the exchange decided against resuming trade today to reduce market confusion. But the outage comes on an important day. It's not just the start of the fourth quarter. Key economic data from the Japanese Central Bank showed confidence among Japanese manufacturers, while improving, remains low. The Tokyo Stock Exchange president said trading is expected to resume as normal on Friday, but analysts have warned of higher than usual volatility. I'm the BBC's Katie Silver for Marketplace.
Trading was also suspended on four other exchanges in Japan using the same system as the Tokyo Stock Exchange. Nikkei futures in Osaka, which is the only exchange up and running in the country, were up 0.5% today. Elsewhere, the British pound is down 0.7% against the euro after the EU just this hour said it'll take legal action over the UK's Brexit bill. Meanwhile, H&M shares are up more than 6% after the company reported a profit rise above forecasts, but said it'll close 5% of its stores as shopping continues to move online. Today is the start of the Mid-Autumn Festival in China. It's an annual holiday marked with family gatherings. Research from travel booking firm Trip.com shows reservations have recovered to about 80% of last year's levels during this time. The BBC's Stephen McDonnell explains the eight-day holiday is seen as a chance for tourism to bounce back from the coronavirus crisis.
This is a time of year that people really love in Beijing. I'm inside this four-story restaurant. There are families in here, they're all gathering. The interesting thing this year, of course, is in the time of coronavirus, people are spending this holiday in China. People could just as well be jumping on a plane to Thailand or Spain for that matter. Part of the problem is that the flights, even if you could get one, are too expensive, and then you've somehow got to find your way back into the country, and if you did, you'd have to do quarantine. But in China, the coronavirus is kind of under control at the moment.
So what are authorities doing to make sure that people abide by social distancing rules that have become a staple of this pandemic?
People were used to SARS as well, and so they didn't think it was that strange when these measures were brought in. You didn't get this resistance in China to wearing masks, for example, or anything like that. The handling of this has been pretty good in terms of controlling it, and so we haven't had the extended lockdowns that have happened in other countries. Now, of course, the problem is going to be the winter and whether or not the coronavirus hits again.
The BBC's Stephen McDonnell for us in Beijing. Thanks for your time.
Good to talk to you.
Have you ever really noticed how often we use animals to describe what's happening in the stock market or economy? Bulls, bears, swans, unicorns, those are the more well-known ones. A new book called Bear Markets and Beyond explores why so many beasts have become financial jargon. The BBC's Drudy Shaw is the author, and she's found a few new ones for us to take note of.
You've also got hamsters. So this year with coronavirus, Hamsterkauf, it started popping up globally. It's this German word for hamster purchase, and it's been used for all that stockpiling that's been going on. We've got meerkats, very hyper alert investors, very, very different to ostriches who just want to keep their head low. So loads and loads of different animals.
There are 130 animals that you've listed in this book. How did this Wall Street speak evolve over the last several decades?
We did a lot of research, looked into the etymology. The bears and the bulls, people think that that originated in the 18th century when bears and bulls were pitted against each other in staged fights. And you've got the bears going down in the market, bears swatted downwards with their paws, bulls struck upwards with their horns. So you see a bull market, that's a rising market. The word piggy bank, that goes back to 1450 from our research. Before banks, people would like stash their cash at home in these earthenware pots called pigs, which are spelled P-Y-G-G-S. Now, people love using animals. It makes business so much more fun.
Yeah, like you say, this is a fun book, but these terms are important for people to really understand, aren't they? Because business and economic literacy is crucial not just to understanding things you read in the paper or hear on the radio, but also your own personal finances.
Yeah, the book is about encouraging financial confidence. It's about making sure that people don't feel scared and they can understand all of that language that's being used around their money. Now, if your money is in a pension, then what sort of investor have you got working on your behalf? Have you got a pragmatic owl? Financial literacy is a huge issue in a post-COVID economy. One in three people are financially illiterate around the world. Last week, a report actually came out suggesting that 89% of Americans surveyed suggested that a lack of financial education leads to bigger social issues, poverty, a lack of job opportunities, wealth inequality. There are so many surveys showing that across Europe, Asia, Latin America, everywhere, that if you've got low financial literacy, you're going to have more problems with your young people, with everybody. The whole point is to make it not scary for families to have conversations. So the book works for those who are in the know. They can laugh at the quizzical sheep investor, but it also helps those who want to be in the know.
It's definitely a fun one to keep by my computer for sure. The BBC's Judy Shaw, author of the new book, Bear Markets and Beyond. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Okay, so my favorite book entry is The Vomiting Camel. It started as a joke by the FT's markets editor, and it's now taken on a life all its own on Twitter. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.